Hello and welcome to The Property Exchange, your guide to the latest news, views and opinions in residential property, with Winkworth, with you every step of the way in the property market. Your host is writer and commentator Anne Ashworth.
Welcome to our very first podcast. We'll be looking at the town versus the country markets. Which is the hottest right now, and can this trend continue? Hello, and in this brand new podcast, we'll be talking about the key trends in the world of property and what they mean for you, whether you're buying, selling, investing, we're just obsessed with house prices. One of the big debates now is, will the move to the country that was spurred by the race for space in the pandemic continue? Or are people coming back to the bright lights of London and other cities as these locations recover faster than anyone had expected from the downturn? To discuss this, I'm joined by Dominic Agace, CEO of Winkworth, and Charlie Mitchell, Director of Winkworth Tooting. Gentlemen, great to be with you. Now, first question to you, Dominic. I want to get a feeling of what's happening in the market now. What's the mood like? And are you seeing any new and unexpected trends?
Sure. I mean, the mood is extremely positive. The market's been incredibly busy since lockdown. What we've sort of always known in property, people always want outdoor space, but really that's been turbocharged by the lockdown. And that's the sort of new influence. So we've seen people bringing forward moves that may have been 5 years, five years' time to do them now. And that's made a big migration to the country markets. So much so though, I think we're seeing price growth. The last year, we've seen price growth of 6% in the country. Interestingly enough, that compares with London, where we've seen price growth around 0.2%. So we're seeing a bit of a narrowing of the gap that's grown over the previous 5 to 6 years.
Now, the move to the country, do you see that continuing for the next few months, or are there any signs of a return to London?
So I think that's the big question. I think what's clearly the country will remain popular for years to come. And actually, it's been a difficult market since 2008, and it's never really had its moment in the sun. And I think that's what you're seeing, and a lot of catch up in that marketplace. Will it continue at this pace? I think it'll abate a bit. I think what we're seeing is that actually there's signs of London returning to London, and clearly a number of companies are calling their employees back to work full time. So I'd expect to see the trend continue and markets continue to be very active, but I would start to see activity return in London. And actually, interestingly enough, I mean, we look at our Q1 data and central London transactions have been 15% ahead of the five-year average and 48% ahead of Q1 2020. So, which is amazing because that was the Boris bounce. So it's very active there as well.
So in London, what kind of properties are people looking for?
So at the moment, the majority is this push for space. So, you know, people want houses, they want gardens, they want parks, they want a lifestyle property. And so the sort of first floor flat is a bit unloved. I would expect, though, that to kind of turn around and those flats to come back to popularity as the move back to London returns and people seek out the bright lights again.
Now, in your role, you're talking to all the professionals in the market, not just the buyers, the sellers, the solicitors, the lenders, the surveyors. What messages are you getting from them? What's the real sense about what's happening and what lies ahead?
So I think the overall message is the whole system's overloaded at the moment. I mean, I think the level of transactions we're seeing is levels that I haven't seen, certainly not for a decade or so. So I think if you speak to the professionals involved in it, the sort of surveyors and lenders and solicitors, they would say that they're working incredibly hard and there's a lot of pressure on them to get these transactions through. You know, accentuated by these deadlines that have been put in place for stamp duty holidays to come to an end. So the system's very busy. I think from individuals, I suppose what we're seeing is it mixed in the country. I think some frustrations amongst buyers because supply isn't keeping up with demand. I think we're seeing 6 applicants for every valuation in the country. So some people are becoming frustrated with their property search, and sellers, I think it's a very positive market for them. You know, they in London, the prices aren't moving up. I mean, the country they are, but they're able to trade quickly and move on with their life.
Now, Is this all to do with the stamp duty holiday, or is there a broader change in how we view property happening here?
I don't think it is all the stamp duty. I think we can see that in the data we've seen over the last year. Stamp duty, for several years now, the property market's been sort of slightly on ice, slightly moving sideways as a result of sort of Brexit shenanigans, political uncertainty, tax changes, and all that's had an impact on it, on its popularity, and the transactions have been at record lows for a number of years. What we saw before the pandemic was any sort of clearing of the skies and sort of a certainty returning led to a big boost in activity, hence the Boris bounce at Q1 2020. So that's always been there. And I think, you know, we then went in lockdown. We then found that the cracks in our house annoyed us and we wanted to move location. And so that left us, you know, the minute we came out was incredibly busy. And then really stamp duty holiday put fuel on the fire, really.
When it ends, do you think the market will really cool?
I don't think so. I mean, we saw the evidence so far. We saw sort of January this year, I suppose, which was with the depths of the second wave and the Kent variant sort of making it quite a depressing environment, which doesn't help a property market. And we also saw that, you know, buyers couldn't transact in January to complete for the stamp duty holiday. So that had ended as a feature. Yet despite all of that, we saw transactions at 11% ahead of the same period, January 2020. So that's quite amazing. It shows the sort of underlying demand. People were, you know, locked up in the houses again in a lockdown, but property was transacting at a higher level than again in the Boris bounce of January 2020. So I think the demand will be sustained. And again, we're seeing it now. You know, it's a bit late now for the end of June stamp duty deadline. But yet we're seeing, you know, applicants register 50% ahead of buyers, I should say, register 50% ahead of the same period last year. Sorry, 2019, obviously last year. There's not many comparables as we all shut down and transactions weren't happening.
So imagine it's Christmas time. What do you think the property market will feel like then?
Ah, so the crystal ball moment. Christmas time, I think it's a very, very good question indeed. I suppose what I feel is that we will still be an incredibly busy market. I think the government is behind the property market. They want to create 2 million new homeowners. They've launched 95% loan to value. It's a centrepiece of their agenda. And they will do what it takes to ensure that people can move property and new people are entering the property market. So I see the environment's incredibly positive. Prices-wise, I think, you know, London, potentially the supply is shortening. So I think you might start to see prices move up in London, where they've been flat for the last year or so. Country, I think there's a long way to catch up. Again, as I said, I don't think since 2007 that we've seen country prices move. So I would anticipate that will continue. Those prices will continue to grow into next year, certainly for the remainder of this parliament.
Now, Charlie, you're one of those people who moved out from South London to the country, to Suffolk. Gorgeous, gorgeous Suffolk. What inspired that move and how is it working for you? What are the logistics like?
Thanks, Anne. I suppose ultimately it came down to a lifestyle change. We've got two little girls that are 3 and 5, and you hit that crossroads where our eldest was due to start school last year. And I grew up in Suffolk. My father farms there. And so there was a natural pull to go back home. And the time just felt right. However, we put the house on the market in January last year. So it was before the pandemic had even really kicked in. And we sold the house quite quickly. And then we had nowhere to go. So it was the most extraordinary timing. But it really all came down to family and a lifestyle change.
So how is it working for you? Tell us about how your week pans out.
Yeah, so that was one of my biggest concerns. Moving out of town in Suffolk isn't exactly renowned for great commuting links. But, you know, it's an hour and a half into town on the train. But I get up very early, about 4:30 on a Monday morning, and drive into London, and I rent a flat in town and stay there 3 nights a week, which enables me to ultimately work flat out in London Monday to Thursday. And then I get to see my wife and family on a Thursday evening, and Friday is all about admin, which I'm not great at, to be honest. But what it has meant is I've massively improved my time management skills, and my staff are absolutely incredible. So if anything, this move to the countryside has actually made me much more productive, and it's probably the first time in 19 years as an agent that I've got a work-life balance that really works for me, because it really is a 7-day-a-week job. You're always on the phone to clients or buyers. And I get to take my girls to school on a Friday, which is great.
So you've got that thing that we're all looking for, the work-life balance. But look, let's turn to your patch, Tooting, that place with its glorious common. What are conditions like there?
It just has so much to offer, such an eclectic mix of people, houses. And I think it's seen as quite a resilient market. People feel safe to invest there because you're not paying big, big bucks, pound per square foot for properties. So you feel that you're getting value and there is capital growth still there. It's obviously, you're talking a lot of money, but £500,000, you can still buy a freehold house, admittedly not a massive one, but you can still buy a freehold house, which you can't do that in many places in London.
So better value than Clapham, better value than Balham? Tell me, you know, if yeah. I was wondering where to move to.
Sure. I mean, they all offer so much. Schooling is a major factor for families. The outside space, I mean, Southwest London is just renowned for huge, huge green. So they're different pockets and different vibes. I think if you take somewhere like Thursdown, which has a wonderful village feel, you can buy an amazing family house sort of between 1 and 1.3 million. Whereas you go to somewhere like Abbeville Road, which is a slightly more established market, you've got sort of many more boutique-y cafes and shops, but you're going to be paying so 1.6 to 2 million for exactly the same house. So there is value the further south you go. What I found fascinating is that the families in Tooting that are moving out of Tooting, selling their, say, 1,500 square foot to 2,000 square foot houses, a lot of them aren't just moving outside the M25. They're looking to stay really with that inside the M25. And there are some amazing, amazing large houses.
So it is. So you get space, you get green stuff. So it's the age of Tooting and Great Common. Now, do you see any problems looming in that market? I mean, are your customers able to get the kind of finance they need to buy these houses?
Yeah, I mean, cast our mind back sort of 10 months ago, it was the mortgage market was really, really challenging. Even people with sort of 20, 25% deposits, it was more of a logistical issue rather than actually the banks lending. That certainly, as Dominic touched on earlier, has improved no end. And the government's 95% LTV has helped massively with first-time buyers. I think buyers always have concerns about the market. They love to talk themselves out of buying a property because market conditions, I mean, it's that great dinner party chat, isn't it? That people always want to predict what's going to happen. But I just think we're in the perfect market. In fact, I would say it's one of the best markets as a buyer that I can remember for a very long time, because you've got a constant flow, a steady flow of good quality properties coming to the market. So buyers have a huge amount of choice. Buyers aren't prepared to pay silly prices, but a property coming to the market at the right price is trading. And those people that are selling, enabling them to move up the chain or trade down.
So ideal conditions now for anybody house hunting, it seems like. Now, I just want to come back to Dominic for a minute. If we were at a dinner party and you were trying to hold everybody's attention... What would you tell everybody that made them drop their knives and forks about what's happening in the market now? Is there one thing, unexpected thing, something you've never seen before in your career?
I think I've never seen... It's the attitudes of people, I suppose, that makes it different this time round. There have been lots of booms in previous times, but this time round it's it's a general desire to move. And so there's just, as a sort of happy, and as Charlie was saying, you know, there hasn't really been price growth in London. People have just been trading. And it's, so that's quite a benign environment. And I think that's something that, that we've never seen. Everyone previously hangs on to fight for the biggest pound or not pay the biggest pound. But it's sort of a fairly level playing field in London, that is.
So the pandemic has actually changed our priorities.
I think that's it. I think it's not so much. Yeah, it just feels a bit more like that. I think coming out of the pandemic, it was, you know, sellers were coming to the market, buyers were coming to the market. There was a balance. As I say, this is predominantly in London, in the country. I think they haven't quite dealt with the swarm of demand, but which is great. I mean, we all want a healthy housing market. We don't really want significant price increases because, you know, then we've got challenges, first-time buyers getting on the rung. We've got inability to move the places you want to move. People can't. We need people to be able to right-size. And so we want high transactions with steady inflation-based price increases. And I think that was a really positive element. And it was actually positive because the stamp duty showed, well, from a stamp duty perspective, the government, because despite reducing it, it didn't create a huge surge in prices in London. It just encouraged people to transact, which, you know, we want. We want a healthy housing market. It's good for the economy.
Okay, now, guys, I'm going to ask you to sum up the housing market in one word. Charlie, one word.
Extraordinary.
Dominic.
Happy.
So, on that positive note, it's now the moment for us to end our very first edition of The Property Exchange. It's been good to chat and share ideas. Do join us for next month's podcast, where we'll be talking about a bold initiative that could see many more homes come to the high street. But for now, from us, it's goodbye. Thank you, Dominic, and thank you, Charlie.
This has been the Property Exchange podcast. For more information, go to winkworth.co.uk or find us on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. The producer was Tom Maddox. For more episodes, make sure to subscribe to your favourite podcast provider.